Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 22 April, 2026, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. An excellent article by Tom Gilbreth entitled Mideast Miracles. A little over 10 years ago, our Secretary of State said out loud what much of the media had kept remarkably quiet. He said that Hezbollah, the Shiite Muslim terror group that had dominated the nation of Lebanon for decades, possessed an arsenal of 80,000 rockets and ballistic missiles, mostly supplied to them by Iran. By then, Israeli intelligence estimated that Hezbollah actually had 100,000 missiles, all of them aimed at Israel. During the years that followed, Iran upgraded Hezbollah's missile cache, both in quantity and in quality. And by the time of the Hamas attack on Israel in October 2023, Hezbollah's stockpile of missiles and rockets exceeded 150,000. That's more ballistic missiles than any NATO nation in Europe has in its arsenal. As 7 October 2023 dawned, Iran had Israel surrounded. Iran controlled Hezbollah, and Hezbollah controlled Lebanon on Israel's north. Iran directed Syria on Israel's northeast. Iran gave arms to and held the loyalty of Iraq's massive Shiite militias on Israel's east. Yemen's Houthi rebels were over 1,000 miles to Israel's south, but with sophisticated Iranian missiles and drones, they made their presence felt. Palestinian terrorists carried out an ongoing campaign against Israel from Judea and Samaria, which is also known as the West Bank. Hamas controlled Gaza to Israel's west. As Sunni Muslims, Hamas did not hold religious loyalty to Shiite Iran, but it shared Iran's goal of annihilating Israel and the Jewish people from the face of the earth. Also, Hamas liked Iran's money and weapons. Iran, the great puppet master, stood 1,000 miles away, but directed it all. Iran supplied the money, the training, the intelligence, and strategic direction. And they chanted, "Death to Israel and death to America." And these are not mere political slogans, but expressions of religious creed. Most people in the West do not know how powerful religious devotion can be. But they should know it can be deadly on a vast scale when it centers on hate. Iran had oil and oil money. And Iran had the nuclear powers of Russia and China and North Korea for strategic partners. And Iran had a religious zeal to build its own nuclear weapons, along with the missiles to deliver them anywhere in the world. In the United States, successive presidents threatened to use force against Iran, but they did not solve the problem. And in some cases, they made the situation much worse. It's difficult to grasp how dramatically everything has changed. Since Hamas crossed the border into Israel on 7 October 2023, Hamas still exists and might rise again. But for now, it is a shell of its former self. Hezbollah keeps finding and firing remnants of its old missile arsenal. But it has nothing like the stockpile it had just 2.5 years ago. The new regime in Syria is wicked and dangerous, but it is not linked to Iran as the old Assad regime had been. The Houthis, the Shiite militias in Iraq, and other enemies of Israel still exist. But the Iranian regime that once fed and directed them has been shattered. Much of the world cheered the attacks of 7 October. They thought it was the beginning of the end for Israel. They were all happy. yet the opposite happened. It reminds me of a line from James Weldon Johnson's classic poem, The Prodigal Son, from his famous book, God's Trombones. The preacher in the poem begins his sermon with some of the most profound words ever spoken. Quote, young man, your arm is too short to box with God. That's a great principle for all of us, young and old. And it applies to nations. Isaiah 45, verse 9 warns, woe to him who strives with his maker. Isaiah 14, 27 says, for the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? God has made certain unconditional promises to Israel, the four unconditional covenants, Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenant. God has made certain unconditional promises to Israel, not because they deserve it, but because He willed it. Nothing will prevent those promises from being fulfilled. Absolutely nothing. Great article, and just follows right in with what we've been studying in our classes here at Upland Bible Church. All right, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And the first paragraph, 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6, we have the power of divine viewpoint thinking, the power of thought. And we're also going to see that we're in a war, but the war we're in is a spiritual war. And if you're going to be victorious in this spiritual war, you have to have spiritual weapons. The only way you will be victorious in this spiritual war is to have spiritual weapons. And that's what we have in 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 1 through 6. Proverbs 23, 7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what you really are. What you really are is what you think in your heart. Now, he may say to you, eat and drink like he's your friend. But his heart is not with you. Because he's your enemy. As a man thinks in his heart, that's what he really is. Isaiah 55, 7 to 9. Let the reversionist forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We got started last time, just exegeted part of verse 1. So far, we've sounds like this. Now I, Paul, myself. That's very emphatic and powerful. Now I, Paul, myself, appeal to you by the humility and the graciousness of Christ. That's how he starts out chapter 10. There are those living in Corinth who are criticizing the Apostle Paul. All of the criticisms that are going to be quoted throughout this passage are an attack on Paul's person, Paul's message, Paul's authority, and Paul's ministry. Paul begins chapter 10 by appealing to the believers in Corinth by the humility and graciousness of Christ, the incomparable Christ. Our Thursday class. This declares that Paul is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. He has great genuine humility. He has maximum grace orientation. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for God the Father. Impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Jesus Christ. And therefore, Paul has absolute confidence that he is teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. Paul's critics have rejected Paul's authority. They are trying to destroy the apostle, accusing him of teaching false doctrine and having no humility and no grace orientation and grace function. The Corinthian attack on Paul does not reflect on the apostle Paul, but it does reflect on the Corinthians who are living in reversionism and living in Satan's cosmic system. Now I, Paul, myself, appeal to you by the humility and the graciousness of Christ, the appointed one, the Messiah, the living and true God. Now, in the rest of verse 1, we have the Corinthians' first attack on the Apostle Paul. First attack on the Apostle Paul, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. This is what they're saying. This is the maligning, slandering, judging toward the Apostle Paul. This is made up of a relative pronoun host plus the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative of prosopon plus a classical Greek phrase that we have had many times. Men and death, men and death. That's pure classical Greek. Plus the noun tapenos with the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su, plus the present active participle of the verb opemi, plus the present active indicative of the verb thareo, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun su. So we start out with a relative pronoun, the relative pronoun hos. Looks like that, H-O-S, hos. Now, the relative pronoun always has an antecedent. You translate the relative pronoun who, and the antecedent is back at the beginning, I, Paul. I, Paul is the antecedent. So this is who refers to the Apostle Paul. And then we have this classical Greek use of the particles men and de. Men and dad. Notice it's men, not women, just men. Okay, I'm glad you're awake. That's great. Men and death. And you translate that, men on the one hand, death, but on the other hand. On the one hand, but on the other hand. And then we have the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative of prosopon. K-A-T-A. Oop, what did I do it in Greek for? Combining Greek and English. Kata plus prosopon. Looks like that in the Greek. P-R-O-S, long O, P-O-N. Kata prosopon. And this means face to face. Face to face. And then we have N plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su, face to face with you. So this should be correctly translated. On the one hand, when I am face to face with you, I am tapenas. So on the one hand, when I am face to face with you, I am tapenos. This is their slander, maligning, judging. T-A-P-E-I-N-O-S. Tapenos. Now, a couple of things on this word tapenos. Literally, tapenos means low. The literal translation is low. However, you'll never find it in the literal use in the Bible. So, point two. However, in the scriptures, tapenos is only used figuratively. Only used figuratively. And it means undistinguished. It means low position. And point three, the important point is this, in a judgment pronouncement, as in our verse, it takes on the meaning of being pliant, subservient, abject, groveling, meek, timid. So when it's used in a judgment pronouncement, judging, slandering, maligning, which is what they're doing toward the Apostle Paul, then it means pliant, subservient, abject, groveling, meek, timid. Point four. In spite of Paul's general satisfaction with the believers in Corinth, in spite of Paul's general satisfaction with the believers in Corinth, there were still some there who challenged Paul's apostolic authority and slandered him and judged him and maligned him. So in spite of Paul's general satisfaction with the believers in Corinth, there were still some there who challenged Paul's apostolic authority, and they slandered, maligned, and judged him. And here is the part of that judging and slandering. Corrected translation. Who I, Paul, on the one hand, When I'm face to face with you, you slander and judge me by saying, I am meek and timid and groveling. Who I, Paul, on the one hand, when I am face to face with you, you slander, malign, and judge me by saying I am meek and timid and groveling. Then we have the other part of that classical usage, man and death. The second half is death. But on the other hand, and then we have the circumstantial temporal participle of the verb opemi. Looks like that in the Greek, A-P-E-I-M-I, opemi. Now this is a circumstantial temporal participle, and you translate that temporal participle when I am absent. So, but on the other hand, when I am absent. But on the other hand, when I am away. So now the slandering, maligning, judging is toward Paul when he's not there for face-to-face Bible teaching. But on the other hand, when I am absent and when I am away, and then we have the verb thareo. T-H-A-R-R-E, long O, thareo. Thareo. One, thareo means literally to be confident, to be courageous, to be very bold toward someone. Now they're slandering and maligning Paul when he's with them face to face Bible teaching. Why, he is groveling and timid and meek. But when he's not here, then he writes to us. He gets tough. He gets bold. And he chews us all out. So thareo literally means to be confident, to be courageous, to be bold towards someone. Two, thareo means great mental boldness, mental courage, moral courage. Mental boldness, mental courage, moral courage. Three, thareo is used in our verse in a hostile sense. A hostile sense. And when you combine thareo with the point four with the prepositional phrase eis humas, it means against you, Corinthians. Hostile against you, Corinthians. So the corrected translation, who I, Paul, on the one hand, when I am face to face with you, you slander, malign, judge me by saying I am meek and timid and groveling. But on the other hand, when I'm absent, then I am hostile against you, bold against you. All right? One. There were some believers in Corinth who were challenging Paul's apostolic authority. Now, the Apostle Paul is maybe the greatest believer ever. Of all of the believers in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, the greatest was Moses. In the New Testament, the greatest is Paul. But there were some believers in Corinth who were challenging Paul's apostolic authority. Two, they were being influenced by certain leaders whom Paul calls false apostles. They were being influenced by certain leaders whom Paul calls false apostles. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. See, we're in chapter 10. We'll be here in chapter 11 next week probably. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, then because they masquerade as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. So they were these Christians in Corinth, there were those who were being influenced by certain leaders whom the Apostle Paul calls false apostles. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and 14. Three. They were accusing Paul of being a mouse in their presence, face to face, but a roaring lion when he's absent. They were accusing Paul of being a mouse in their presence, face to face, but a roaring lion when he is absent. Four. They claim that Paul, the teacher face to face, and Paul, the writer, when he is absent, are two different people. They claim that Paul, the teacher face to face, and Paul, the writer, when he is absent, are two different people. Five. These false apostles are leading some of the believers in Corinth away from Paul's teaching of grace and truth. These false apostles are leading some of the believers in Corinth away from Paul's teaching of grace and truth, and they're distracting them into evil, the evil of Satan's cosmic system. You're in 2 Corinthians 11. That we studied verses 13 and 14. Now look over at verse 20. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 20. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you. That's the false teachers, the false apostles. You put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you, or pushes himself forward, or slaps you in the face. I like that. And then Paul, here's his sanctified sarcasm. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. He got only Paul and his genius. He nailed it right there. Principle that you need to understand. The faithful communicator of the Word of God. The faithful communicator of the Word of God is on the front line of the angelic conflict. He is attacked in the angelic conflict 24/7. Every day, the faithful communicator of the Word of God is on the front lines of the angelic conflict and is constantly coming under attack and being misunderstood. And that's true of every great faithful communicator. That was true when I was in Pullman, Bethany Bible Church, Pastor Breckel. That was true with the colonel. He had people that slandered, maligned, judged him. People from all over the country. He's probably the greatest communicator of the Word of God in our generation. Phenomenal. But the faithful communicator of the Word of God is on the front lines of the angelic conflict and is constantly coming under attack and being misunderstood. So, verse 1 again. Now I, Paul, myself, appeal to you by the humility and graciousness of Christ, who I, Paul, on the one hand, when I am face to face with you, you slander and judge me that I am meek and timid and groveling. But on the other hand, when I am absent, you slander, malign, and judge me that I am bold against you, hostile against you. Now he goes on in verse 2. But I beseech you. This is the post-positive conjunction de plus the present middle indicative of deomai. The post-positive conjunction de is an emphatic or intensive use of de, and it should be correctly translated in fact. It can be translated indeed or really or in fact. And the best translation of this emphatic use of de is in fact. And then we have the verb deomai. That's D-E-O-M-A-I. Deomai. And deomai is a verb that means to ask or to make a request. In fact, I make this request, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. That's the King James. This is the aorist active infinitive of thareo once again, but this time with the negative may, plus the present active participle of paremi, plus the dative singular of pepoithesis with the definite article. Now, paremi, we have a circumstantial temporal participle of paremi, and it should be correctly translated when I come face to face with you. So this is a temporal, circumstantial, temporal participle. When I come face to face with you. And then thareo repeated, but this time with the negative may. When I come face to face with you, I may not have to be as bold. And then the dative singular of the noun pepoithesis. Looks like that in the Greek, that's P-E-P-O-I-T-H, long E, S-I-S, pepoithesis. And in the dative case, this is the word confidence, with the confidence. So when I come face to face with you, I may not have to be as bold with the confidence. And then we have with, the King James says, with which I think to be bold against some. This is the dative singular, the relative pronoun host, plus the present active indicative of logizomai. We're going to see that verb a few times here. Plus the aorist active infinitive of tolmao, plus the prepositional phrase epi, plus the accusative plural of the indefinite pronoun tis. Now we have the relative pronoun once again, hos. And remember, relative pronoun always has an antecedent. And the antecedent of hos is pepoithesis, confidence, with which confidence, with which confidence. And then, so in the relative pronoun, you translate with which in the dative, antecedent pepoithesis, with which confidence, and then our verb logizomai. Logizomai. Looks like that in the Greek, L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I. Logizomai. All right. First of all, point one, logizomai can be translated reckon. You know, like I reckon. I reckon I can ride that bull. Means to reckon, to calculate, to count, to take into account. That's literally to reckon, to calculate, to count, to take into account. Point two, as a result of that calculation, logizomai means to evaluate, to estimate, to consider. So as a result of that calculation, logizomai means to evaluate, to estimate, to consider. Three, then logizomai means to think about, to ponder, to let one's mind dwell on, to concentrate on, to think about, to ponder, to let one's mind dwell on, to concentrate on. Point four. Now, when this verb logizomai is followed by an infinitive, which is exactly what we have here. When logizomai is followed by an infinitive, the infinitive here is tomao. So logizomai is followed by an infinitive and it's followed by the verb tolmao. T-O-L-M-A long O. So now we'll give them I with the infinitive following, which is what we have, the infinitive tomao. It means to have in mind, to have in mind, to propose tomao, that is to propose to be bold, to propose to be courageous, to purpose to be bold, to purpose and to be courageous. So we have logizomai, followed by the infinitive tomao, to propose to be bold, to propose to be courageous, to purpose to be bold, to purpose to be courageous. And then the preposition epi with the accusative, which is what we have. Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 289, says, if the feelings or their expressions are of a hostile nature, which is exactly what hostility, a hostile nature, then epi is correctly translated against. And that's how this should be translated, against, and then the indefinite pronoun test, against some. All right. So, corrected translation. In fact, I request, when I come face to face with you, that I may not have to be as bold with the confidence, with which confidence I propose to be bold and courageous against some that are there in Corinth. Those who are slandering, maligning, and judging the Apostle Paul, listening to the false teachers. In fact, I request, when I come face to face with you, I may not have to be as bold with the confidence, with which confidence I do propose to be bold and courageous against some, those who are following the false apostles and slandering, maligning, and judging me. And then he has, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. This is what the false apostles are saying. Paul is not even living the spiritual life. Paul doesn't even have a spiritual life. He's living out of fellowship with God, living by the lust patterns of his sin nature. That's what Paul is doing. Don't listen to Paul. Listen to us. Who think of us, Paul and his team, as if we are living our life walking according to the flesh, the sin nature. So we have the articular present middle participle of logizomai once again, repeated, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the comparative particle hos, plus the present active participle of peripateo, plus the prepositional phrase kata, plus the accusative singular of sarx. All right, we have logizomai again. But this time, point one, we have an articular participle. And the articular participle is substantival, and that means it functions as a noun. So here's an articular participle, substantival, it functions as a noun. Two, it refers specifically to the sum of the previous clause. When Paul says, I do propose to be bold and courageous against some, those who are slandering, maligning, judging me, trying to destroy me and tear me down in our ministry. So the articular participle is substantival, and therefore functions as a noun. And point two, it refers specifically to the sum of the previous clause. I do propose to be bold and courageous against some, those who are slandering, maligning, and judging me. Three, in this last clause of verse two, logizomai means to look upon someone as, to look upon someone as, two, specifically, to look upon the Apostle Paul and his team as, to look upon the Apostle Paul and his team as, therefore, three, to assume something, which is totally false and a lie. Four, to regard something. So specifically, to look upon the Apostle Paul and his team as, and then we have the accusative plural, the personal pronoun, ego, us, Paul and his team. Four, the present tense has linear action start. The present tense has linear action start, and you would graph it like that. Linear action start. Who are constantly assuming us. Who are constantly assuming us. Who are constantly regarding us. The middle voice is deponent, that means middle in form, but active in meaning. Five, the articular participle is substantival, it functions as a noun. Who are constantly assuming us? Who are constantly regarding us? Constantly assuming us, constantly regarding us. Six, the comparative particle host introduces the characteristic quality of a person or a thing or an action that's referred to in the context. So we have the comparative particle host. The comparative particle host looks like that, H long O S. Comparative particle host introduces the characteristic quality of a person, a thing, or an action referred to in the context. Point seven, Arndt and Gingrich, page 906, says that in our verse, host introduces a quality about the Apostle Paul and his team that is one, wrongly claimed, two, objectively false, and third, a total lie. So point seven, Arndt and Gingrich, page 906, says that in our verse, host introduces a quality about the Apostle Paul and his team that is wrongly claimed, objectively false, and a total lie. So we have who are constantly assuming us, regarding us as peripateo kata sarx. Peripateo, P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E, long O, peripateo. And peripateo means to walk around literally. It's used figuratively to live one's life. So they're accusing Paul and his team of living their life. And then kata plus the accusative of sarx. K-A-T-A, that's the preposition, plus sarx. There you go. Kata plus sarks. And kata means according to the norm or standard of something. Sarks is the word for flesh. It is the word for the old sin nature. So this is according to the norms and standards of the flesh, according to the norms and standards of the sin nature. This is the accusations they're making. And it's a total lie. They're listening to false apostles who, and they're all now slandering, maligning, judging the Apostle Paul. And they're accusing Paul and his team of walking, living their lives according to the norms and standards of the old sin nature. That's their accusation. They're living, you're living your life according to the norms and standards of the sin nature. You're out of fellowship with God, Paul and your team. You have no spiritual life, Paul. And the Apostle Paul is the greatest believer in the, who ever lived. He's a winner believer. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He totally understands the grace of God. He teaches the grace and aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures, day after day after day. But we're in the angelic conflict. We're in a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war. And the only way you can be victorious in this spiritual war is you have to have spiritual weapons in your soul. And that's coming out here in the next few verses. You have to have those spiritual weapons in your soul to be victorious. Otherwise, you will crash and burn. So, one, any faithful communicator of the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures, any faithful communicator of the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures is going to have critics who malign him and slander him and judge him. Any faithful communicator of the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures is going to have critics who malign him, slander him, and judge him. And in the many years I've been here, almost getting close to 50 years, there's been a lot of people that have maligned and slandered and judged me again and again and again and again. But I'm going to keep on studying and teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God and feed the Lord's sheep because I love the Lord. Two, the Apostle Paul and his team were being slandered and maligned by some of the believers in Corinth. The Apostle Paul and his team were being slandered and maligned by some of the believers in Corinth. Three, these believers were being influenced by the evil of false apostles, which we saw in 2 Corinthians 11:13 and 14 and 2 Corinthians 11:20 and 21. These believers were being influenced by the evil of false apostles. Four, they were accusing Paul and his team of being out of fellowship with God and living their lives by the lust patterns of the sin nature. They were accusing Paul and his team of being out of fellowship with God and living their lives by the lust patterns of the sin nature. Five. So Paul is making a request for a complete change of mental attitude on the part of his critics. So Paul is making a request for a complete change of the mental attitude on the part of his critics. Six. Paul right now continues to be absent from Corinth. Why? Because he doesn't desire to come back and be face to face with them on a get tough basis. Paul continues right now to be absent from Corinth because he doesn't desire to come back and be face to face with them on a get tough basis. Seven. Paul wants to return to Corinth under relaxed conditions. Relaxed conditions, which are ideal for the teaching, the grace and truth of the Word of God. Paul wants to return to Corinth under relaxed conditions, which are ideal for teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. Eight, since Paul's last visit to Corinth, many believers have come under the influence of evil and have entered into reversionism. Since Paul's last visit to Corinth, many believers have come under the influence of evil and have entered into reversionism. Nine, this has not changed Paul's virtue love for them. Paul has impersonal love for all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Right now we're looking at the ugly and the bad. This has not changed Paul's virtue love for them. He loves them with impersonal love. 10. Tomao is the verb for overt courage. Courage in face-to-face teaching. Eleven. There are times when the faithful communicator must teach the Word of God with tough virtue love, with great courage in face-to-face teaching. There are times when the faithful communicator must teach the Word of God with tough virtue love and courage in face-to-face teaching. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start at verse 18. And pray by the agency of the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert And always keep on praying for all the saints. Verse 19. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Declare it fearlessly, as I should. I was at one of the Colonel's Bible conferences in California, and the Colonel asked me to come up and close in prayer. And after I closed in prayer, a woman came down, and she had something on her mind, and she started slandering, maligning, and judging her pastor. And I said, "Ma'am, that all I have here, what you're saying, just hearsay. That's one person. You may be right, you may not be right. But instead of slandering, maligning, and judging your pastor, why don't you pray for him? He's in the middle of the angelic conflict. He gets attacked every single day. The pastor gets attacked every day. Why don't you pray for him? Stop slandering him. Stop maligning him. Stop judging him. And pray for him. Why don't you do that?" And that just, I couldn't believe it. Here they were for a fantastic Bible conference, and this is what they came up to afterwards. Sometimes the faithful communicator must teach the Word of God with tough virtue love, courage, and face-to-face teaching. So, pray for me, that I will fearlessly proclaim the absolute truth of the Word of God. Fearlessly. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.